Hi, my name is Fred Dodsworth. This is Pacifica's National Committee meeting, Financial Committee meeting on August 25th. It's time. Will the secretary please take the roll?
Sure. So Christina Evans, Tom Chase?
Here.
Thank you. Linton Foley?
Here.
Okay. Steve Cooker?
Here.
Thank you. Apo Martin?
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth?
Here.
Okay. Myra Reason?
I'm here.
Thank you. James Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you. Dennis Williams?
I'm here.
Thank you. Michael Woodson?
Here.
Thank you. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you. Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, now I'm here. Okay. So everybody's except for Christina. Okay.
Great. Mr. Secretary, can I ask you to read the entire draft agenda out loud, please, for the record?
Sure. Call to order. Roll call for 5 minutes. Approval of the agenda, 5 minutes. Approval of the minutes from August 12th, 5 minutes. ED report update about consolidating financials and membership donor management, 15 minutes. And then the new business, Steve Cooker sent a little email about, you know, allocating money for the central services. So we can take that up and then adjourn at 10:30. Thanks for that.
Great.
Mr. Chair.
Move approval.
Mr. Chair. Shouldn't we also find out if there's anybody else on the call?
I don't see anybody at the moment, but let's see.
Should call for him anyway.
Okay. Anybody else on the call that I didn't call? Okay. Thank you.
Hearing nothing, we're going to actually go back to where we were. I would ask if there are any objections to the agenda. Hearing no objections, we're going to go forward. The minutes everybody's got there, our Paul did submit some corrections. Other than those corrections, are there any objections to the minutes being approved?
Well, only thing, Fred, is that the, Kristen Averroes was at the meeting last time, so I had to add that on. So that's the only correction I have in addition to the Paul.
Great. Then, let us proceed with the agenda. I think we're going to start with the approval of the ED report, and it says no report, but I don't think that was last time. Excuse me. My apologies. That was minutes. My window back to, okay, agenda. And ED report, 15 minutes.
Okay. One of the things that I was going to bring up for discussion is that since we have been reviewing the division's finances to date, we are also updating them even from the past ones that have been, because everything has been reviewed so far, except KPFA, which is going to be reviewed in September. I'm meeting with the station's general managers as we update those numbers. And again, when we were looking at those numbers as a group, there was the FAR column on the far right that was self-populating to get us ready for our budgets for fiscal year 26. So if everything is moving forward as planned, which so far that column is self-populating as we work through these numbers, I was wondering if we think that we would be able as a group to get through all of the budgets for the meetings that are scheduled for the National Finance Committee in September, or if we need to add another week to make sure that we get through all of the budgets, or if we don't get through everything in September, then are you willing to have the last set of budgets looked at in the first meeting in October?
Susan's got her hand up. May I hear from you, Susan?
Yeah, I suggest that we schedule 3 meetings in September. And if we don't need the third, we don't need it. As it is, we're only going to be able to bring the, we're never going to, we're going to be able to bring the, budgets forward at the October board meeting, and the fiscal year starts in October. So I would, it would be nice if we were able to, deal with the fiscal year budgets in September, but I think the start of October would frankly be better than usual.
Mr. Martin, I see your hands up.
Yes. Okay. It's tempting in this kind of a situation to say, let's start cramming in meetings. However, in my experience, that makes everybody rush like mad during those extra meetings. Also, you have meetings set up over the course of a year. People are used to them, and you can also sometimes start having people not able to show up at those extra meetings, even if sometimes they think they can. So just going forward and doing these things and making sure that, we're thorough with them when they come up should be a good idea. We have to avoid rushing too much because blunders hurt you more than being a little bit late. And quite frankly, unless you're really hot to make sure everything is done by October 1st, look at the history of it. It's being late is not unusual. So there you go. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
I'd like to respond to that. As chair, I'm not really interested in what happened in the past because what I think what happened in the past was a catastrophe and was not acceptable. That is my opinion on this issue. Myla, your hand is up.
Yes. I'm not thrilled about the idea of having an extra meeting in September. I'd like to keep it to two meetings a month, personally.
Okay. Well, that's, I think we could just, we don't, we, there's not a motion on the floor, so I don't think there's any reason for me. Okay. Susan, your hand is up.
Yeah. I'll just say that, and I'm not disagreeing. I think that people are loaded up as it is, but that means probably that we will not adopt the budgets until November. Unless we load in a second PMB meeting in October. As our Paul has said, we have often been in the new calendar year before we've been adopting budgets. If we understand that, that I think that's part of the report to the PMB.
Great. I really want to
Fred, can I just ask, If maybe Stephanie can weigh in, does it put the foundation at a disadvantage if we don't have the budgets approved by the beginning of October?
Not necessarily, but I don't want to push it back any further. We have already reviewed people have taken a look at where things are moving forward. People have made comments of this committee have already made comments on the pre-populated budgets. I personally think that if we and these meetings do run efficiently, that I think we should be able to get through all of them in September. If the only one that the very last meeting in September is where the KPFA will be made, we haven't looked at KPFA's finances. So that may be the only one that will take a little bit longer as far as time, but it's a good goal. If we don't, then, I don't want to push it off until November or December.
So let me ask you directly, Stephanie, do you want us to have a third meeting in September?
No.
Good. That resolves it. Myla's hand is still up and Steve's hand is now up.
I'm going to lower that hand.
Steve, your hand is up. Would you like to be recognized?
Yeah, I suggest that in lieu of the extra meetings. I won't be available for any in September that aren't already scheduled. But send out these budgets early. Give us time to review them early. And then when we do have our meetings, we should be well prepared. I know in the past we get the budgets right on top of the meeting, and it's hard to prepare. So if we don't have a meeting, just send the budgets out as early as possible.
Okay, actually, we have told the PNB and the ED that we want the budgets a week before these meetings. That's apparently aspirational, but we are going to move in that direction. Okay, Stephanie, back to you for the AD report.
We are reviewing various healthcare plans. We're up to begin with open enrollment for healthcare plans for all of our employees, all paid staff, union and non-union. So I know that there has been some discussion amongst the stations of the possibility of having the union employees have the option of getting insurance through their union. So I have had some conversations with our SAG-AFTRA reps to see if this is something that is possible. It was attempted one time in the past at Pacifica, but all the union employees, the majority of the union employees, opted to go with Pacifica's insurance plan instead. But again, just because it happened in the past doesn't mean we can't address it and look at it again. So we're trying to do everything we can for the possibility of saving money with healthcare. But again, we have to be able to give the union members the option if we do create a package through the union for health insurance, the employees need to have an option of doing one or the other. So I'll keep everybody informed if there's any changes in our healthcare. Again, we don't always know what the increase is in that healthcare until we get closer to the start of the year. With our archives, there were two storage facilities that were holding our archives. One had, I believe, 4 units, and the other one had five units in the facility. We have just now finished cleaning and categorizing and getting ready for shipment, and we already have 20,000 tapes and materials that have already been shipped off for digitization. But we just today finished cleaning out one of the storage facilities for the archives, and now the team is moving on to the second one. So we're making good progress with that. We are still working on updating the website for the archives so it can become, you know, what people need to go to it then to download anything that they need to purchase, or it's becoming like a vendor site. But there were some issues with the website in the past, so we're transferring it to a easier system to use, and there's a lot of costs with that, so we're doing it as we get money coming in or donations coming in for that. But we are making great progress.
Can I ask a question, Stephanie?
Correct. Yes.
Currently staying in my house is Pratap Chatterjee. Pratap Chatterjee was on the LSB at KPFA, and 20 years ago, I think it might have been that long ago, a long time ago, he was also on the LSB at WBAI. He also worked with Amy Goodman, and he has a ton of tapes. Are we interested in those?
Well, not everything. We get a lot of things from people who have a ton of tapes or things in their garage that is of great value, but we don't own any rights to them. So it's great to be able to serve as an archive for things like that. But if we don't, we have to do copyright searches on everything, and we're prioritizing those materials that Pacifica has the copyright to. So if someone sends us something, we can add it to the list of things to be cataloged, copyright searched, and digitized. But if it isn't something that is owned by Pacifica, it moves to the bottom of the list, because we don't have the grant that we have is to preserve materials that is owned by Pacifica.
My understanding is that these are actual WBAI and KPFA programs. I could be wrong. Do we own those?
We would have to do. The Library of Congress is okay. Helping us do these copyright searches, or AAPB is helping us do copyright searches on each and every tape. Okay. But we also do research on the inside. What he can do is reach out to me, and then I can connect him with the person that is running the archive project, because we do get inquiries like this probably 3 to 4 times a month of people that find things or stations that have things, and they can all also always be shipped to us if need be, or
I will inform him of
your
interest and or lack of thereof, and let him follow up on it.
Right. Okay, perfect. Yeah, because there are a lot of hidden gems that people have in their garages that maybe we don't have, or it was, you know, never transferred or saved on our side. And so it would be helpful to have the masters. So we're not turning anything away, but we are not guaranteeing that we can digitize it if it isn't something. We won't prioritize the digitization if it isn't something that's owned by Pacifica.
Are we paying?
We want to get those done first.
Are we paying for shipping?
No.
Okay, good. That's what I need to know. Art Paul, are you asking about this particular question?
Yes. Or maybe giving a little background. First of all, before I say anything else, IP law is intensely Byzantine. And so, you really need a lawyer to do any of this, because it's set up so that only the lawyers can figure it out, and they can't figure it out. So, in general, however, if it's using the station's resources, if it's all station resources and the person is paid to do it, it belongs to Pacifica. So that's a very easy one. If somebody uses station, facilities, but isn't paid to do it, well, that's more complicated. If somebody just makes something and sends it in, it's theirs, not Pacifica's. So that's a general rule of thumb, and that is how it has worked in the past. So there's that.
Thank you. Stephanie, would you want to return to where your ED report?
And that is why we are not doing the copyright search. We are leaving that to the attorneys at AAPB, WGBH, and the Library of Congress to do that for us on the pieces that we are sending them. And then as far as the IP, I completely agree. That's how things work in television and radio as well. And we are incorporating that. And we have an attorney working on that in the programmer's agreement, that is in process, that we hope to be able to roll out prior to the start of the fiscal year. So we can have those agreements with all of our programmers, that they can sign. And we want to make sure that we're supporting the programmers and that they have the right to promote their programs, put them out on podcasts, you know, do whatever it is that they need to do without Pacifica claiming that we own them. And then also at the same time, having them, you know, be able to say this was recorded at a studio, you know, in San Francisco based, you know, owned by Pacifica Foundation, something. So we, in that agreement, we're dealing with the IP in order to benefit both Pacifica and our programmers.
Thank you. More on your AED report? Or is that it?
One of the things that too we're wanting to discuss, is we have the financial policy and procedures that we're still working on. Thanks to anybody that has sent in any sort of edits on that. We also have some people at the stations that are dealing with the finances, looking at that policy as well to make their edits. But one of the things that had been recommended to us by NEDA, by our auditing firm, even that I was surprised to see when I even first started, was, we're looking at seriously trying to centralize all of Pacifica's financial operations, so we can strengthen oversight within all of the divisions, streamline the operations, just to be able to give us a stronger oversight and accountability. So we would have the national office managing the payables, receivables. We've already centralized payroll. But then this also, by centralizing everything, it reduces the risk of any errors and us having to wait to get a lot of the bank reconciliations done. Those go back and forth and back and forth, sometimes for a month, of getting questions answered on the bank reconciliations. And we're trying to be a little bit more efficient, not just with cost savings, but with time for the people at the stations that don't necessarily have business managers, but have people stepping in to try to help and do the business finance, the office managing. And we want to be able to sort of open up the time of some of those people that are doing that work that may not necessarily have a bookkeeping background, but then also eliminate any duplication and processes across the stations, while at the same time standardizing and having the consistent procedures and compliance practices. And we believe that by having everything consolidated through the national office, that would allow us again to be able to have faster and more accurate reporting, which has always been an issue, because we are the ones at the office then that would be able to take a look at the bills and knowing that this bill is getting paid on this time, running reports, letting the stations know these are your page payables. This is what is in the bank. They would still have access, of course, to their bank accounts. But this is what we want to pay. Do you approve of it? That kind of thing. And then also being able to negotiate stronger vendor contracts. The more that we go in to try to even just like working on all the apps that we're getting for the stations. As I was looking at people that could create the apps, then it came out that, oh, well, the station already has one and they signed a contract with somebody. Oh, the station's already working on one and they're ready to sign a contract. Well, once we were able to consolidate all of that, of course, we got a much better deal and everything is going to be consistent. And then the same thing with any sort of grants that are coming in, we can have a better grasp of, you know, who's signing the grants, what it's being used for, if a grant is being applied for, rather than it sometimes being applied for just one station, it could actually be applied to a much larger, larger dollar amount for better use. And often what happens when the stations go out and write their own grants, even though many have been told, at least let me take a look at them, the foundations end up calling me anyway, because the money is being, you know, to ABC station when technically, you know, it should be to the Pacifica Foundation rather than that, because that's what the tax ID is on. So we know that there will be, you know, somewhat resistance, because we don't want the stations to perceive that they have any sort of loss of autonomy in their financial decision making, but we just want to be able to support them in a better way. And again, take away some of those responsibilities that may be, slowing down some people's regular jobs. We know that there, is a, costs that would be involved as far as the staffing that we would need at the national office, because we right now have, you know, the one national business manager, we have two part-time bookkeepers, but it would be great to be able to, rather than having the part-time bookkeepers, add at least 2 to 3 bookkeepers that can help work with the stations, also utilizing if we have good staff at some of the stations that are already doing the finances well, being able to utilize their talents on the national level as well. And then ultimately it would be wonderful to be able to have a, you know, development revenue specialist that kind of could help with any sort of donor database integration and pledge reconciliation, which I again would like to centralize that as well, the donor database. Also any sort of grant management and grant reporting compliance officer for that. That could be something down the road though. And then also administrative support, sort of a clerk that would help with any sort of data entry, and again working with the stations. So what we're planning on doing is rolling this out at a couple of the stations already, KPFK and WBAI. And I've already, KPFA doesn't have a business manager, so we've been trying to help them with that anyway, but, you know, help take some of that financial away from them. So we want to roll it out at WBAI and KPFK. We've had conversations, with some of the general managers already. I know that the stations do need sometimes petty cash to be able to get things done or access to pay some sort of bills. So what we try to do is then to be able to give them a debit card, which people would have to, of course, as most companies would do, do expense reports on it. But that has been overlooked in the past. So again, we're hoping to roll this out. Markeisha and I will be visiting WBAI and WPFW in probably October, both of the stations to help roll this out at that level and then be able to see how that works. So
I have a request that you clarify something. You said the station's financial responsibilities, and I was under the understanding that each of the stations is a fully owned subsidiary of the NPO and that they shouldn't actually have any financial responsibilities, which is why the consolidation of financials is so critical and why the invoices, contracts, income, all need to go through central. So I would like you to clarify what financial responsibilities does the local station have other than letting you know what is due, what has come in, and of course, for petty cash, we need to have expense reports.
Correct. Correct. The bills, right now, bills are being sent to the stations, and then the stations scan them and send them to us. We want to be able to reach out to all of the vendors and have those bills sent directly to the accounting department in the national office. So if there's bills that are paid online, rather than waiting for the station to log in, download the bill, and then send that to us, have everything come out of the national office. So we would go in as we meet with the stations and literally sit down with them and say, okay, let's forward this bill right now to this email address or to this, you know, service address and then a billing address. So then we can have a better idea as to when that bill comes in, when that bill is supposed to be paid, set up accurate vendor accounts on for that vendor rather than on a per bill basis, because not always do we may not get the bill in a timely manner. Or if there aren't people at the station, maybe then later on in the week or 2 weeks go by and then the mail is opened and then we get scanned or sent a photograph of a bill. That doesn't happen at a lot of the stations, but it does happen. And then that way we can get a better grasp of these are the expenses and this is when they're going to be paid. And then as far as revenue, the stations do make their own deposits into the bank, but often it is a stack of, you know, here's 7 checks that we got. And those 7 checks were all sent in as a deposit. And then we get a notification that, oh, $10,300 was deposited. Okay, now we have to wait until there's bank reconciliation to be able to go in and say, how was this a major donor? Is this a, you know, listener support? Was this a corporate match? You know, and then we have to go back and forth to try to do the coding. So if we could even, you know, if all of that was then sent into a lockbox, which all of the stations have, the banks have a lockbox, then we could deal with see that breakdown of the revenue and let the stations know you received this much in listener support, this much in a corporate match, this person was renewed, you know, that kind of thing. Ultimately, what I would love to be able to roll out is, again, more of a, that we are all part of the Pacifica Foundation, not just in the station standpoint, but to our listeners as well. So when you become a supporter of a station, you are not only becoming a member of that station, you are becoming a member of the Pacifica Foundation, a nationwide network. Your voice is now a part of this nationwide powerhouse of radio stations. And because when people are donating, they are donating to the nonprofit of the Pacifica Foundation, but their support is going to their home station or their, you know, that program at their station. But there has to be a bigger picture that we need to look at in that our members are much stronger than just their station. They are part of all 5 stations. They are part of the archives. They are part of this network. And the only way that we can really promote that is to be able to also do a better donor database, which we're working on, building that out, or, you know, the early discussions part of it, possibly, you know, with using some of the software that Otis has already written, the WPFW is using, and then, trying to upgrade that or turn it into some of the program and the things that we need so that we can look at all of the members of Pacifica at one time. And when you have, it's not that we would be poaching members, taking members or anything like that. But when somebody makes a donation to the Pacifica Foundation, like if you were looking at a donor database, they get logged in and they've made their donation, but then that donation is specific to KPFA, WBAI, the archives. And then you can go even further down, you know, KPFK, this program, you know, so it's all a matter of how it's managed in the donor database. So if we had, at a national level, one person, it's a very big job. There's entire departments that do this, but if we had, you know, someone that is a development revenue specialist at the national office that can deal with the donor database integration, pledge reconciliation, get those notifications out, get those thank you letters out, get those tax letters out. That would be great. The only station, and I'm not, cause I know this is overwhelming for so many stations, but the only station that I ever get tax acknowledgement letters from or reminders that my card needs to be renewed or anything like that is KPFT. So I even get phone calls from LSB members at KPFT, not knowing that they're calling me, thanking me for my donation or asking me if I want to give a little bit extra. But, you know, and then when they call me, they're like, wait, I recognize this number. Is this Stephanie? You know, so I want to be able to get that practice across the entire network and let our listeners feel that they, again, are part of a much bigger organization.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I see we have a number of hands up. Steve, you're first.
Well, I would assume protocol is the committee members first and then us lackeys, but I'll go ahead. Your friend has tapes. It would be useful if he has an index or a written descriptor of what the tape's contents are, and he can forward that.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, if he has it, because I know tapers, and some of them are extremely detail oriented and others are very sloppy. So I don't know what the state is, but it would help.
I don't think they were, it's going to go anywhere, Steve.
Okay. Secondly, the internal controls and financial management, is a good and relevant conversation. I've heard on more than one occasion at more than one station about, members stepping up and paying bills directly to help a struggling station. But then when I go to review these financials, I see where the glitch is. So the financials will show income, it'll show expenses, or a bill. So if we get billed for something and it gets paid off the books, it screws up our financial documents. And then we have these animated conversations. Well, Pacifica is making money vaporized because, we have money in the bank, but they're showing us in deficit. But what's really happening is, some of that debt got paid off the books and yet we're carrying it because we don't show that income. So, getting a handle on these internal controls is essential to getting a handle on our finances.
Stephanie, do you want to respond to that?
We have had some individuals that have been very kind to offer to pay bills. When I am made aware of that, they are deeply encouraged, and this has happened quite a few times recently at WBAI, to make a donation to the station restricted to that bill. And so we make note of that. So then that way they're getting their tax write-off and the bill is getting paid. So it's showing in as a major gift and then it's going out and will balance out as an expense. If a bill is getting paid that way and we're not aware of it, yes, that does become a problem. And that person isn't getting a tax write-off. And we should be able to then write it in there too, as being able to give a tax acknowledgement letter for an in-kind donation, because they technically paid for this service. So if we had a better grasp of that as well, when in-kind gifts are coming in, we do need to be able to have a line, not necessarily added onto the revenue, but that we've got this in-kind gift coming in. So that does pose a problem when there are, and people are getting better about this, but I understand past trauma of being a part of Pacifica that many people have is that they don't want to make a donation to pay for a bill because they may in the past, it may have happened to them, or they had heard rumor that it had happened, that the national office just ate up that money and then never gave it back to the station. So I understand that there are many people involved in Pacifica that are dealing with a lot of those past traumatic experiences. But when we are made aware that someone wants to make a gift to pay off a bill, we make sure that it is restricted for that and that the person gets the necessary tax write-off.
Thank you. Mr. Segerton, your hand is up.
Thank you, Fred. Stephanie, we know from George Orwell that all animals are created equal, but we also know that some animals are more equal than others. So we see again that it seems as if WBAI and KPFK are being singled out for implementation of some of these new policies, which are decreasing the local autonomy, while, unless I'm mistaken, other stations, one in particular, has still not complied with the Pacifica policy of putting all the bank accounts with the Bank of America, because they appealed to some unknown appellate level. So to what extent, what are we now, Stephanie, in the fourth year of administration? Fifth? Fourth, I think.
For me?
Yeah.
For me.
Three. All right, so we've been hearing about these kinds of consolidations since you got here. And, I'm just wondering, you know, can we expect this in 5 years, 10 years? What is your thinking about how this is going along? I mean, I, for one, as you may recall, was very much in favor of consolidating things. But what we found was that WBI's banking was consolidated to Bank of America, while some others were not or were slower at it. And basically we lost our local autonomy as a result, while others apparently haven't. So can we expect going forward that these policies are going to be applied equally to all the stations, including getting all the banking into one location?
Mr. Segerton, you used the word appeal. Are you suggesting that there's a legal action that currently occurring?
When asked about why the Pacifica policy of all the banking not being done at one bank, the Bank of America, the answer from Stephanie was that KPFA had appealed their participation in that, even though there is no such appeal. The Pacifica Board sets the policy, executive director implements it, there's no appeal. They should be banking with Bank of America like everybody else.
Stephanie, do you want to answer that?
I want this across the board for all of the stations, because it needs to be fair across the board. I don't think that I didn't pick KPFK or WBAI randomly. They, after speaking with and having multiple conversations with the general managers and the people that are dealing with the financials there, they are struggling the most with not having a business manager on site, or someone that is not a business manager that is stepping up to try to do the business management, whether it's coming out of the membership department at KPFK or whether it's the person that's helping at WBAI is like the webmaster. So it's great that they're doing that and it's greatly appreciated, but we're trying to relieve some of that burden that they have. And so I just figured it would be easier to roll it out first at the stations that are struggling the most. Is it going to be difficult to implement a KPFA? Yes, it will. Maria does a great job there. So I would hope to use the talents of the business people, the stations that have business managers at KPFA, KPFT, being able to use their talents to help support this as we roll it out across the entire network.
Let me state, as a KPFA's representative here, I am totally supportive of what Ms. Wells just said. I have no desire to have a separate account as KPFA, but it clearly there are some issues that are going to take some time to resolve. I don't think that anything that we say other than what I just said is going to move it any faster. Myla, do you had a you?
Fred, if I could just have one quick follow up, not a question, but a statement. I want to say that I'm glad to hear that Stephanie intends for this to be rolled out across the board, and I look forward to that implementation as soon as possible.
Great. Myla, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you. This might have better been asked at our last meeting when Maggie LaPeak and Ace Eswick were with us. But as some of you may know, KPFK has been playing quite several programs that originate at KPFA, and including the news. And sometimes when we hear pitching on KPFK, we hear listeners invited to call KPFA or to donate at kpfa.org. And we hear that on KPFK sometimes over the last couple of years. Also, I would imagine, I have a question, and that is because we have been carrying news originating at KPFA, whether there's any cost sharing, whether KPFK is contributing any money to produce the news and other programs. You might be able to answer that, Stephanie. I don't know. So it's a kind of a double-pronged, you know, on the one hand, I'm wondering whether we contribute in terms of if there's any cost sharing. On the other hand, I am a little concerned about KPFK listeners being encouraged to donate to KPFA.
There is no cost sharing, and that the shows should be edited prior to being aired, or the board operators should be aware that at such and such a point, they take that out and put in
the cart.
Donate, a cart or live donate to KPFK.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's just that that doesn't seem to be the case often.
That's an internal issue within the board ops and the program directors at KPFK. There is cost sharing that is happening from the national news or national stories that are going on with the We Decide at WBAI, working with Ursula and multiple affiliates, and KPFA is involved in that now, and KPFK is providing stories for that as well, and PFW is getting involved in that. So with that, there is cost sharing to the extent that a lot of the national programming is getting underwritten by supporters coming out of WBAI. And then WBAI is sharing that money across the board. KPFK, KPFA just applied for a grant that would also help cover the costs of the national news. And then the national office is covering the salary of one of the reporters that is also spearheading a lot of the stories coming from the affiliates. So we're working much better as teams trying to put together national programming and funding that will cover that national programming. And if it's not being covered at a local level, then the national office is picking up that slack.
I'm very excited about that, Stephanie. And I think the news should actually be called the Pacifica News Hour. And I think that each of the stations should have a cart ready to interject to into the news that offers local news options and a request to please donate to the local station. Susan, your hand is up, please. You're muted. Ms. Young, you're muted.
A couple of things. One, Stephanie, the things that you have talked about for building capability at the national office, let me just tell you, I think that these efforts, yeah, they've been long in coming, but I think we had so many difficult situations, it was hard to prioritize. Will the national office budget that comes forward include funding for those positions? That's one. A second thing is, will we be getting the central services payments from everybody that permits that to be paid for? And then I'd also like to come back to a question about allegiance, if you could answer those two things first.
Yes, I will have, yes, it will be in the budget for the national office. It won't be spread out over 12 months because I don't believe that we will be in a position to hire people starting as early as October, November. So I'm just mapping out an anticipation of being able to get somebody in that, you know, in one of these positions in such and such a time. Particularly with the donor database, we might not be able to hire somebody right away because we're going to have a cost associated with creating the donor database, you know, redoing and improving the website, you know, that kind of thing. So I have to incorporate those costs into building the infrastructure before hiring somebody that can do that. I'd rather give, you know, extra money to people that are already working here to help on this process with the build out. And we already have some people that have volunteered to start researching and working on that. As far as the central services, yes, the only station right now that is not paying central services is WBAI. They asked if they could, they weren't paying full central services. They were paying a portion of the central services. As with KPFK, KPFK is now paying full central services. So everybody's now paying full central services except WBAI, which they asked for a little bit of a respite. So they haven't been paying since the end of June, early July, in order to help them build up revenue to continue paying the tower rent.
And if I may go to allegiance, so I know allegiance has been highly problematic, arduous, costly, whatever. And you brought up possibly using, modifying the system that is in place at WPFW that Otis designed. And this donor management is really important, not only for understanding our revenues and cultivating them, but also as a voter database. So, Do I understand that you and Anya and Markeisha will be visiting the different stations and helping to kind of talk to them about how we can get a head start on the member database?
Yes, I don't, we have individuals from KPFA, KPFK, WPFW, and WBAI. All working on researching donor database. At KPFK, at KPFT, we have an expert with allegiance. And so you know, their input will be extremely important as well as to what we're looking for. But that's going to take a while. We have the election, obviously, coming up. I don't think that we will have a donor database that is functional, operational, and everybody's trained on in time for the election. So what we're working on now, and the general managers are aware of it, when we go out on our station tour, we will also be bringing someone who will be working strictly on donor lists and member lists. Well, member lists, not donors are members, but member lists. And so before we arrive, we will be asking the membership departments to provide us and have ready a list as of that, you know, date of all the members. And then we will sit down and work with them as to where are you getting this list? Is it a clean list? How often is it updated? Work through any bugs one-on-one and in person, and then ask for updated membership lists every month. Maybe it's every 2 weeks. You know, I don't know. We'll have to determine that when we get there, so we can make sure that when the election starts, that we have clean, accurate lists, not just one random list that whomever the National Election Supervisor will be, we'll have to go through and clean all at one time. But we'll start that cleaning and preparation process as early as October.
Thank Great. You.
Steve, you have your hand up again.
I do. I wanted to make an observation that at least my recollection was part of the reason for the bank consolidation was to save money. And that is because the national office has to provide additional financial support to some of the stations. So those stations getting the financial support are expected to be efficient, and that the national office asked them to consolidate into one bank. That totally makes sense. If they were completely self-sufficient, I'm sure nobody cares where they do their banking. But when they're asking for support, we want to do it as efficiently as possible, and putting it all in one bank saves us money.
I guess you're done, Steve. Myla, your hand is up again.
It is, yes. I have a question, and it, for Stephanie. If somebody, if a business, a small business that, an entertainment venue were to provide a calendar of events for the radio station for a program, that listed various activities in the KPFK listening area. And then the host of the show were to say, this calendar has been provided to you by, this venue, .com. Is that in any way problematic if the show isn't explicitly underwritten by that business, and if there isn't an announcement that says the show is coming to you because it's been underwritten by this? I'm just trying to be vague. This is all hypothetical.
Any sort of compliance questions and issues, it's...
Go
to John, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not detailed enough for me to kind of figure out, is this organization a nonprofit? Those are different
rules.
Is this show specific to that? You can direct people to the website to look at a calendar of events, and not all underwriting involves or sponsorship involves money.
Yeah. I would talk to John about it. I'm sorry. I was just trying to intentionally vague.
I want to keep this to the National Finance Committee rather than programming and stuff like that.
No, it wasn't. It was about, I understand your concern, Fred.
Thank you. I see some hands that I'm assuming are residual because everybody's already spoken several times. Are there any hands left up that aren't residual?
Yeah, I put mine down and then up again.
Okay. And Lyndon, I'm going to let Lyndon talk first because he hasn't spoken at all. Lyndon.
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, since we got some financials through March, I was just looking, you were talking about bank charges, so I was looking at them, and KPFT is paying $1,200 or so a month in bank charges. Other people have $200 or $500 a month. And then I see the national office is paying, $2,000-$3,000. And so consolidated, it's at like 6,000. Of course, on that line, it's bank and interest charges. So that could really throw things out of proportion. But I've been, stymied that, you know, KPFT is paying $1,200 a month. And I thought this consolidation would get us down. And I don't understand why we are different from other stations. Could you explain that, please?
Those bank charges may have a different, those may be just credit card charges. Those may be something else. I don't know the details. It may be something that's just was listed as an expense and not put to the correct GL number. Because again, once we get an expense, we put into Great Plains whatever the GL is that we receive from that station. So maybe it's divided up someplace else. I'd have to get a closer look.
Well, you know who does it for that station, right?
Correct.
So
I will ask Markeisha to ask about what that line is.
Do you know why there's like $3,000 a month on national office, or why we have $6,000 a month in consolidated?
With six in the national office or the consolidated?
About three in national and six-ish consolidated.
No, I'll have to take a closer look and break those down with the bank.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Sagerton, James, your hands up.
Thank you, Fred. Yeah, in response to some things that have been said, I wanted to say that I don't think we need to be rude about pointing out things that are maybe not completely on point in terms of being financial matters for discussion here in this committee. But, you know, over the years, this committee has been used to talk about a lot of things that, you know, are tangentially related to fundraising or expenditures. So I get that. So, you know, whether, you know, we're talking about somebody who has tapes or other things, you know, we don't need to self-correct too dramatically. And certainly impolitely, as has happened in the past. But in addition to that, I just want to say that there was no suggestion at the time of consolidating bank accounts at Bank of America, any suggestion that it was because of stations that were struggling or not being self-sustaining should do it first and fastest because they needed to be more efficient. Quite frankly, we're not saving much money at all by having bank consolidation. We are saving some, but the point really was to have control over what's going on. You know, we had credit cards all over the place, so we didn't even know some of the people who had control of some of these accounts weren't even with us anymore. So it was more a matter of getting control than it was to get any great efficiencies. And just as a final aside, I want to say that, in fact, WBI was very efficient in transitioning to Bank of America. I think we were the first station to do it. I think we did it well. We were denied access to a credit card at that time for incident expenses, so we're continuing to have a problem at the station with things like no toilet paper. So I'm glad to hear now that we're going to possibly be rectifying that with some credit card access for the stations. So that's just some background on how some of this came about. Thanks.
Steve, your hands up.
Yeah, and you're correct, James. It was not for money saving, but to be able to have a better understanding as to where we had money in what accounts. Because the national office did not know of, and that's not just WBAI, by all means, we did not know where stations had accounts. And we still just figured out something recently with KPFK that they randomly got a very large deposit, high five figures, as a donation. They had absolutely no idea where it came from. So we pulled the money from the account and put it in a restricted account just to hold it and save it until we figured out where this came from. And then after Ace and Maggie took a very long, well, Ace figured it out, and it was a Stripe account that we had no idea even existed, the national office, and it ended up being a total of 4,197 donations that had never been accounted for, that the Stripe company decided we're going to go ahead and deposit this because it's been sitting in our bank account for too long. So it's those kind of things that we're selling. We're very grateful for it. We pulled the money out of the restricted because we have a couple of blank accounts at Bank of America just for special projects for the stations. So we were able to pull that money out and, you know, put it back into NKPX. We weren't going to take it, but we just wanted to hold it in case and then save it, you know, and put it back into KPFK's account. So it's things like that, that it's not that we're here trying to, you know, consolidating again, as James said, isn't there to save money, but gives us a better understanding of where there is money and is there money on the table that we're losing. I just got a bank statement today from a bank that we're not banking at, but it says Pacifica on it and it has over $36,000 in it. Hadn't seen that in the 3 years I'd been here. So it's things like that, that now I'm trying to figure out where this money come from. Does it belong to one of the stations? How do we get access to it? You know, so it's things like that, that it's not consolidating in order to take over or be in charge, but it's so we can have a better understanding that we know where, you know, where the money is coming from and to thank the donors. 4,197 donors that gave money to KPFK and were never acknowledged. Are they even listed as members? You know, did they vote over the last 4 years? You know, it's those kind of things that just drive me nuts. So that's what we're hoping to try to fix.
What you're doing is doing standard financial management for any organization that's larger than a hot dog stand. And the fact that we've been doing this for 75 years so inadequately and so disjointedly is shocking to me, and I'm thrilled that we have real professional management in place, and I'm supportive 100% of the consolidated management of finances. It just doesn't make any other sense. Steve, did you get your question asked?
Actually, no, I have a new question.
Well, let's go to our Paul then, if you've already asked a question, right? Or
you're the chair.
Well, I don't know. Did you just ask a question that got us here, or have you put your hand down? Or you see, nobody puts their hands down. And so go ahead and ask your question, Steve.
I'm curious about the audit status. It's kind of critical to the, foundation's, welfare. And it seems to have fallen off the radar. So I'd like to hear our audit status.
It hasn't fallen off the radar. It's moving forward. We are waiting still for reports from one station, KPFA. And so they are providing us some changes that were requested from the auditors. So we're waiting on getting that. But the taxes have been completed and the audits are again in process.
Great. Paul, you have your hand up.
Yes. Okay. All right. Since we're talking about these things, are we going to talk a bit about the income statements and things that we've gotten?
It's not on the agenda for this meeting.
Oh. Okay.
You have another question, Paul?
I know that when I sent things out the last meeting, I had made some comment regarding that we are continuously updating the financials for each of the stations. And so then I don't remember who had brought up, well, then if you're updating it, why don't we see them? So that's when I sent out to everybody the updated WPFW and WBAI statements that had been updated since they had first been presented to the NFC a few months ago. I'm meeting with both the general managers this week to hear their comments, their changes, anything that needs to be relabeled or anything that we have questions on.
My question was just about the reason why there's a serious difference between what you just recently sent out and the consolidated financials, the income statement that ended September 30th, 2024. Can I just ask that very fast?
Sure.
Okay. Difference. Basically, the one from end of 2024 shows 2024 ending at about 578 grand in the red. The one just sent out shows about 200 grand in the red. So you're saying WBAI did more than 378 grand better than had been in the consolidated financials. And is there a specific reason for that? I ask, wondering if I know what that reason is.
Are you looking, did you say the consolidated one for the entire organization? Or are you referencing
the BAI tab, BAI, in both of those?
Okay, the BAI tab. So you're looking at
the net income, net loss.
Q, column Q.
Oh, let me go look. Let me go look at the actual spreadsheet now.
It's WBAI. The consolidated for all of the stations are for Q3. The WBAI financials that were received were the two dates, I believe, in, I don't have that spreadsheet in front of me. That was updated, and I believe that's to date to end of June.
Trying to,
are you referencing the WBAI budget to the?
I'm going, pardon me, I wrote it down and, that's but okay. I didn't have it. Okay. I am seeing for the one that we got, you know, for the end of FY, 24, it says 233. For the one we got, recently, it says 200. Okay. So that's it. All right. I calculated the end of year, but all right. So you're saying that, it's a difference of what is it?
30,000 bucks. It's
34 grand or something like that. Around 34 grand. So you're saying we are doing, worse? We're doing about 34 grand worse, this third quarter than we did last third quarter.
It's better. And this is, you know, this.
Again, I'm not, are you looking at just the one that's WBAI or are you looking at all the stations?
I'm looking only at the WBAI tab.
Okay. So the bottom line, net income. Loss, I have to just hide so I can, or hide the top so I can see from 2 years.
It's line 95.
Okay.
95R in one of them, and it's 97R in the other one.
Okay.
And so are we doing what? 34 grand better this
total
time.
Total prior year March at this time was 660. And
including central services.
Right. And then year to date right now, 548. So that does. Yeah. And it most likely is due to, paying off almost 2 years worth of, I'd have to take a deeper dive in this, but it's most likely paying off 2 years of tower rent.
Right.
And then also getting caught up on salaries for individuals that should have been members of the union and were not members of the union. And there was everybody that was kind of getting paid as a contractor was supposed to have been members of the union, and we had to pay back salary for those individuals. Some of that dated back a couple of years.
Okay, thank you for that.
Steve, your hand is up.
Yeah, I thought I heard Stephanie say that we have financials through the third quarter. I only have them through the second quarter.
Okay. I can send those.
Thank you.
Stephanie, mm-hmm. if you'd be so kind, just send those out to the IO for the whole network so everybody, or the whole,
Yeah.
Those are shareable numbers. Because if they're not shareable numbers, you need to send them just to the PNB members.
Yeah, I mean, they're shareable. I send them out to the general managers as well. It used to be that we would send them out, then the general managers would make changes, but then they wouldn't make changes, and then it would be too, yeah. So if there's changes, I'll send out new ones.
Or, okay. Oh, I'm going to move us to new business.
Could I just ask very fast? Okay. All right, let's go to new business, I suppose.
I want to go to new business. Is there any new business? Hearing none.
Well, I heard some before. Didn't somebody want to talk about,
You're not running this and I didn't hear it and I don't know what you're
talking about. The agenda, I mentioned that Steve sent an email to all of us. You can cover that.
Yes, Steve, that's what I'm referring to.
Steve, do you want to, I don't know what we're specifically speaking of. Do you want to bring us up to speed on this new business?
Sure. This was discussed previously at the committee. We have a legacy membership rate that was established in 2004 of $25 a year.
Too little.
That doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't pay the core bills, you know, simply to function. So if you want to be a member of this organization, you need to be able to support the basic functions of the organization, audits, elections, you know, all the bookkeeping requirements and so on and so forth. So we need to, in the bylaws from 2002 or four or whatever to today provided for the national board to have the ability to increase the membership, fee. We need the money. We need people that are members of this station that want to participate to pay their way. So we don't have the ability to subsidize anybody. So I thought I'd lay out all the financial costs that, and the minimum financial costs it takes to run a radio station and foundation. And we need to increase the membership fees. And if people aren't able to step up to those fees, then they really aren't interested in the foundation's welfare. So in my opinion, so I'm asking that we increase it, or we recommend to the PNB that they increase the membership fee.
Okay, I see a lot of hands up now. I really didn't want to get into this. I don't know that it's actually, what did you say?
Yeah, I suggest that we take up this matter at a future meeting. It merits a lot of conversation. It seems to be pretty clear. I'll just confirm that, yeah, the 2025 bylaws provide that it's minimum of 25 or what the national board sets, but I think this is something that merits more conversation.
The 2004 bylaws, so it's been 20
understood.
Years.
It's understood. It's in the current ones, and it has been for a long time. I just suggest that we take this up at a future meeting.
And I can tell you that Steve, let me talk. I can tell you that I brought this up at the PNB, and it got a lot of blowback. I totally agree with you. It's my understanding that our local station, KPFA, our KQED charges $200 a year. I'm certainly paying a whole lot more than $25 a year. I think anybody frankly, anybody should be able to afford the cup of a coffee per month to support the station. And that's about $5-6 a month. But I don't see that this is the place to bring it up. Take it to the LSB and have the
LSB. We're the finance committee. Come on. The LSB is not directing the foundation. These are foundation-wide policies. If PNB won't do it, it's all politics. Nobody wants to raise taxes. Nobody wants to.
Well, what I'm saying, Steve,
tell the truth.
Up at the PNB.
Because they're all campaigning all the time, and I am fed up with that.
And understood. Point of order. The member has expressed his opinion. He's going on a rant. I suggest that we move to adjourn. It's been requested that we discuss this at another time.
I second your motion to adjourn.
Boy.
Is there any objection to adjourning at this time? Hearing none, I say we will adjourn. Thank you for your time and thank you for your thoughts.